Welcome to this encore presentation of Catholic Answers Live. We appreciate you listening today and apologize that we're not here to take your live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast.
Hi there, welcome. It is, as you just heard, a pre-recorded episode of the program. I'm Jerry Usher filling in today. And this hour we have a special treat for you as we are heading into the Christmas season. And we are going to be having Father Paul Scalia talk about the Word made flesh. Lots of things flying around us, lights, music, family and holiday and office gatherings and so forth, and songs and the smells of the season and baking and all of that. But where do we find Jesus in the midst of this? We want to help you focus on that. That's why we're presenting this program today. I know you have a lot of other ways to help your mind get centered on the birth of Christ, but hopefully this hour will help you do that even better. Father Paul Scalia is a native of Virginia and grew up in the Diocese of Arlington. He attended the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Mass. He then studied theology at the Pontifical Gregorian University and the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas. Those are both in Rome. After his ordination in 1996, he served as parochial vicar and pastor at several parishes in the Arlington area. And Father Paul has written for various publications and is a frequent speaker for the Institute of Catholic Culture in Front Royal, Virginia, and a regular guest on this show. And Father Paul, we're glad to have you back. Welcome.
It's great to be with you. Thank you. Especially as we approach this great feast.
Yes.
So good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here, and I know that we're going to cover a lot of, very insightful areas in this conversation about the Word made flesh and Jesus Christ becoming incarnate of the Virgin Mary, as we say in the Creed. Let's just start very foundational, Father. Why was it necessary that God, Jesus, take on our human nature? I mean, obviously it was to save us ultimately, but I like to use the example that he could have done the Bewitched thing, you know, just wiggle his nose and poof, you know, sin is gone and salvation is achieved. But God chose to do it in a very intimate, personal way. Why was that?
Yeah, that's it. And He didn't have to do it that way. I think that's something that's very important just to put out there. First of all, you're dating yourself with a Bewitched reference, but it's well taken. We talk about it in terms of fittingness. That's sort of the theological term. It was fitting that the Word become flesh. It was fitting that he save us this way, meaning that it's not strictly necessary, but there is something appropriate about it. And I'd like to just point out what this means about God's power, because when we think of God as all powerful, I think many times we fall into the error of viewing that to mean he does whatever he wants and he's not, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But when we think about the fittingness of the incarnation, what that means is that God's power is at the service of a design, and there's an order and an appropriateness to it. Which is why we can entrust ourselves to his power. It's why we don't have to be in dread of his power. He does things in a fitting manner. And so why is the incarnation fitting? Why is it appropriate? And one of the ancient ways of explaining it was, St. Irenaeus says that it's like untying a knot. You untie a knot the same way that the knot is tied. You just reverse the process, right? And so there's a fittingness to God becoming man, and as man, sort of reversing the process of our damnation, which makes, of course, for salvation. And so he is the new Adam who, in place of the first Adam's disobedience, obeys. And in that manner, there's the fittingness there. Also, it's fitting that injustice this happened, because in justice, man owes this debt to God, but man's incapable of paying that debt. And so it is fitting that God become man in order to pay the debt on our behalf. And fitting also because this incorporates us into our own redemption more and more. We're not just bystanders. He's become one of us, and he's come to us to be with us and to associate us with his actions, and even with his actions of redemption, even with the greatest act of redemption on the cross. He's associated us with that. So for all of these reasons, we use this term fitting, the argument from fittingness. He could have simply willed it in any way, wiggled his nose.
Clicked his fingers.
Exactly, or just, you know, sort of a wink or a nod. He didn't have to do it at all, right? He could have just not done it. And it's there's a great tribute to us in all of this. He's treating us with extraordinary dignity. He's coming to us as one like us, and he's associating us with his work. So all of these things point to that.
Yeah, and Father, on that note, I think it flows nicely into where I wanted to go next with this, and that is, you know, God wanted to become one of us. Well, who were we, and who are we? Well, we are obviously made in His image and likeness, but because of sin, that is marred. We are wounded, if you will, and we are in our misery. And so Jesus came as not this grand king riding on a horse and striking fear in the hearts of everyone, but he really entered into time and became one of us in the most humble possible circumstances. Does that get it? Continue the thought you were getting at a minute ago?
Well, absolutely. One of the reasons for the fittingness of the incarnation, and the Catechism lays this out so beautifully, you know, asking why did the Word become flesh? And it's not just to redeem us, but also to reveal himself to us, and even more profoundly, to reveal us to ourselves. And this is, you know, the quote that John Paul II used so often from Vatican II, probably because he authored it, which is that Christ fully reveals man to himself. And so this is not just an act of, I'm going to come and fix everything. But he's also entering into this relationship with us, first of all, by revealing God. So when we look at Jesus Christ, when we watch his every move, when we listen to his every word, it is God that we are watching. It is God that we are listening to. And so God reveals himself through our human nature. And so we are capable of entering into a deeper relationship with God because of that, because he has revealed himself in that way. And then he reveals us to ourselves. He shows us what it means to be human. And to your point, he even reveals to us the poverty of our situation. And so he is born in a cave. And that should reveal to us, that should remind us of the poverty into which every single one of us is born, because we are born in original sin. And we need to be rescued from that. And so this humility of God reveals to us something of our state. If we, you know, pity the Christ child there in the cold of the cave in Bethlehem, we should realize that that's revealing something about our state spiritually without the Christ. And then if we can fast forward a bit to the pinnacle of our Lord's incarnation, which is, of course, his passion and death, when Pontius Pilate puts him out in front of the crowd and says, "Behold the man," you know, that could be also translated, "Behold man," that our Lord, by entering into these humble circumstances in Bethlehem and then in his passion and death, he reveals to us the poverty and the horror into which sin has brought us. And so there's this revelation of us to ourselves, and then, not to end things on a sad note, he also reveals to us our great dignity. And throughout his life, when we see the nobility of our Lord's perfect human nature, we realize the sublime dignity of our calling. At his transfiguration, especially, he is made flesh for all of these reasons, to enter into this relationship and to reveal God to us and reveal us to ourselves.
Well, it is time for a short first break here in this hour of Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Father Paul Scalia. He is a priest of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. I'm Jerry Usher filling in today, and we're talking about the Word made flesh. Of course, this is our program heading into Christmas weekend, just a couple of days away from the fantastic celebration of our Lord's birth, trying to get you a little bit better prepared with this conversation. It's a tape show today, so we're not taking your live calls, but we have a lot more to talk about with Father Paul when we come back.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Who or what is God? Does the universe provide clues to God's existence? Why would a loving, all-powerful God permit suffering in the world? In 20 Answers God, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, all while it guides you down a path of rational inquiry and understanding towards an encounter with the central mystery of the universe. 20 Answers God is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In the beginning was the Word, St. John writes. He leaves no doubt about the divinity of Jesus, and that as God, He has always existed, and that it was through Him that the Father created all things. So why did He choose to take on our human nature and suffer and die for the creatures He authored? It was not simply to inspire people to give gifts to each other in a spirit of family feelings and goodwill to all. No, He came as a remedy for sin. From the poverty in which He was born to the agony in which He died, His presence among us was to demonstrate the divine love our triune God has for us, and then to actually enable us to imitate that love in a way that we could never achieve simply on our own. This is the glory of Christmas. It is the glory of Jesus Christ in human history, and the glory of your life and mine as well. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
And this hour, it is Father Paul Scalia talking about the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. And we have titled the show, The Word Made Flesh, on this, right before a Christmas broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. Very nice to have you with us, Father Paul. And during the break, you mentioned you wanted to share a little bit more about this notion of how the medicine, that being God coming to us and redeeming us and saving us, how that really fits the sickness, as you put it. So elaborate on that.
Well, yes, when we talk about the fittingness of the incarnation, maybe a good way to understand it is to view it in terms of a doctor prescribing a medicine for someone who is ill. The medicine has to fit the illness, right? And if I have a broken arm, antibiotics is not really going to help me, right? I need a different kind of treatment. And so the incarnation is proportioned. It is designed to address the wounds and the spiritual maladies that we suffer because of original sin and because of our own sins. And I mentioned before the guilt, the eternal guilt that we suffer, that only God can pay, can redeem us from. And so God becomes man because man has to do it, but only God can. But then there's the disorder in our souls. We all feel this. We all, that our passions rebel against us. And so into the world comes our Lord living a perfect human life and showing, what the properly ordered life, how glorious it is and how passionate it is. Another wound that we suffer is ignorance, in the sense that our intellect are darkened because of sin. We don't see things clearly. We don't see ourselves clearly. We don't see God clearly. And as I mentioned before, our Lord coming into the world reveals God to us and reveals us to ourselves. And so that's, it's another cure, another kind of medicine for that that wound of intellectual darkness that we suffer, His revealing God to us and us to ourselves is proportioned to that malady that we have. So I think that's another way of addressing it, and this is, the deeper a medicine can go, the more effective it is. If the medicine can really address a malady at its source, then it's the best of all medicines, right? And that's what the incarnation is. He comes and he comes to heal us really at the source of everything. And so he takes on our human nature and takes on our sins, even takes on our weaknesses, in order to bring us that healing. And you know, that's the fittingness of the incarnation. That's why it's not strictly necessary that God become man, but it is so appropriate and proper really to what we suffer.
No, it's not just treating the symptoms. I mean, it's, in other words, it's not
there
like,
you go, right?
Yeah, if you get a gash on your arm, you know, a Band-Aid's not going to do it, right? I
mean, that's right. And that's why our proper response to the incarnation really is to go deeper into, okay, well, what are my symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people pass over Christmas, too lightly. I think people are frightened to treat it, you know, too deeply, because it might reveal too much. But the proper response is to say, well, gosh, the Lord became man for my sake. Then I need to take that seriously. What are the things, you know, what are the problems, the spiritual maladies I have that he has come to address? And I don't want a surface treatment of those. I really want him to come, you know, very deeply into my soul. So, yeah, and that's the proper response, right, of the patient that he's come to heal.
Catholic Answers Live, Father Paul Scalia with us here. The Word made flesh. We are talking about the, of course, the incarnation of Jesus, which we hope and pray, dear listeners, you will embrace maybe in a new way, a new and fresh and unique way here this Christmas time and for the rest of your lives, because it is, without question, the greatest thing that we could ever have done for us by a God who loves us so much. We're not taking your live calls right now, but we're pre-recording this broadcast for airing right now. So, Father Paul, what can parents do? This is, I think, a huge area that, you know, obviously a lot of families want to look at some of the the Santa Claus and the gifts and the parties and all of that. And kids probably, you know, obviously up until a certain age can't really assimilate what you're sharing right now. But when they can, you know, what can parents do to help plant these seeds in their kids' hearts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, to answer that, I think one thing to realize is that in the Catholic faith, some of the most sublime and even severe dogmas are communicated in very gentle ways, and those dogmas defend some of the most gentle and beautiful dimensions of our faith. And at this time of year, especially, you know, we think of the Christ child in the manger, and we think just of the beauty of the simple shepherds coming, and then the noble magi and Joseph and Mary there, and the family, and just the beauty of all of it, and the tenderness and the warmth of it. But the reason it is all of those things is because of the dogma of the incarnation, and this is no mere child. So I'm always, at this time of year, I always like to think of the story of St. Nicholas, you know, punching Arius at the Council of Nicaea, you know, when Arius denied the divinity of the Son, of the Word. And St. Nicholas, of course, the great defender of Christmas, right? He couldn't take it. And so the story is that he went up and he smacked Arius in the face, and then, you know, was promptly removed and sent to the ecclesiastical timeout until he right. could learn to behave himself. So I'm not advocating punching heretics.
Right.
What that whole story really gets at is, nice, good old Saint Nick. He understood that in order to have the warmth and the tenderness and the beauty of Christmas and everything that we value about it, you need to have that dogma. And if that dogma is not undergirding all of those other things, then you lose them, right? And that's what we see in our culture. We see ourselves losing that warmth and tenderness, and it becoming just sort of a scrum for who can get the most gifts. And so first recognizing that, the importance of this teaching, that's the first thing the parents on their own have to appreciate. And then, you know, calling to mind also, Catholic dogmas are communicated really in the most gentle manner. I mean, think about the way you learned about the Trinity. Nobody sat you down and said that there's one God and three divine persons and so on and so forth, but simply taught you to make the sign of the cross. Nobody taught you about the doctrine of the Eucharist. They simply taught you to genuflect. And so with the incarnation, we're not taught about the hypostatic union immediately. What we're taught is to go to the manger and kneel down and look at the baby Jesus and simply say, I love you. And thank you for coming into the world and happy birthday. These little things, I think preserving those simple devotions within the home, that is what opens the child's heart for those lofty dogmas that save us. And so, you know, the good things in the home, having a beautiful manger scene and the baking and the family time together and the Advent calendar, and we always did that growing up, and so on. These are the simple things that I think parents have to trust in, that we don't need to reinvent everything, and we don't need to become fancy. The simple traditional things that Catholic families have done for centuries have been a means of conveying the truth and the faith,
yeah,
and not getting caught up, of course, in the consumerism.
Yeah, and on that note, and we've got a break in about 2 minutes here, Father, a hard break, but I always like to say when parents, for me, one of the best ways to transmit the faith to your kids is just live it matter-of-factly. And we see that in the history of the church with stained glass windows and the rosary and so many other ways, you know, when there weren't books and there wasn't literacy and there wasn't reading. Still, what you're saying right now, the faith can just simply be lived in a matter-of-fact way, not ostentatiously, but not shamefacedly either. Just embrace it and live it. I think, you know, kids are going to catch that.
Well, and parents themselves not being afraid to go and kneel in front of the manger and do these little devotional things and take the little figurines and arrange them beautifully in the house and give, and the parents really have to allow themselves to be childlike in that manner. And then, you know, as you said, children will see that and they're drawn to that and they'll imitate that. Virtue is really learned by example, right? Not by a lecture.
Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Father Paul Scalia. We are not taking your live calls here on this broadcast today, but we will be again. Let me check here. January 3rd is when we are going to be back live. We continue a long-standing tradition going back to even when I was the host of the show here. Little bit of a timeout over the holidays so that radio staff can get to wherever home might be. I know Nick and his family are going to Texas and others are getting a chance to be with their families, and we hope that you will have that same blessing as well. Father, before we go to the break, I know you're probably busy doing ministry things, but do you get some family time this time of year?
Yes, I will. I will. My family, most of my family is right here in the area. Six of the nine of us are right here in the D.C. area, and two others are within striking distance. So we'll have plenty of time together, and I'll be with my mom and some siblings and family on Christmas Day and the days that follow. Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're so grateful for your time here today, Father Paul Scalia. Folks, stand by. We're going to get that hard break taken care of here right now. Again, we are going to be live on January 3rd on Catholic Answers Live, but just because we're not live doesn't mean great shows aren't coming. In fact, we have a taped show with Father Paul on Monday, Reclaiming Time for God, and then Bishop James Conley and Archbishop Paul Coakley in the second hour on Monday, Reborn in Wonder, the Restoration of Christian Culture. We've got a couple of Q&A open forums coming up during the octave of Christmas. We've got a sidewalk counseling show on Wednesday, What is the Mass with Father Mike Schmitz, on the 28th. So we're just so glad that you are with us here on Catholic Answers Live. I am Jerry Usher, your host today, filling in with Father Paul Scalia. We have more that we're going to talk about here. Again, we are delving into the Word made flesh. That is what we really want to focus on this time of year. As we like to say, we don't want to make you feel like you can't have that family time, the celebrations, the lights. I mean, I've had my tree up for a while already and lights and so forth. But really, the world needs to know about what this season is all about. And it is about Jesus Christ. And Sadly, a lot of people, I don't quite understand how they do it. They manage to get totally into the mood and the festivities of the season, and there's not a trace of what it's all about in the back of their minds. And so that's not a judgment. It's just simply we need to be the ones to get that word out and pray for those who don't know that Jesus has come in the flesh. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Father Joseph Mary, chaplain here at EWTN, inviting you to join me in a prayer for a fruitful Advent season. Almighty God, we thank you for this season of joyful expectation as we await and prepare for the coming of your beloved Son. Help us to be ready when he comes again in glory, to perceive his silent presence with us now, and to have bigger hearts ready to receive all that he desires to give us this Christmas. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code WINTER at checkout. With great new resources on Scripture, church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code WINTER at the checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Have you visited Catholic.com lately? We've got a whole new look, better navigation than ever before, and lots of great new features to make your Catholic.com experience one that will have you coming back again and again. You'll find the answers to thousands of questions on all things Catholic, and our extensive library of audios, videos, tracts, articles, and more gets larger every day. When you need answers about the Catholic faith, turn to someone you can trust. Catholic.com, the most trusted destination in Catholic apologetics. That's Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live. Last program before Christmas weekend, Christmas Day on Sunday. And I love the church gives us an octave, 8 days, as though it were one day, just like at Easter. If you go to Mass during the week following Christmas or Easter, you will hear things like, on this day Christ was born, or on this day Christ rose from the dead. And so what a loving Holy Mother Church we have, and great opportunities really to party, if I can put it that way, in a holy and reverent way we get to celebrate. Father Paul Scalia is our guest, talking about the Word made flesh. And Father, isn't that a beautiful thing? I'm not sure we fully realize the beauty of what the church gives us in the octave of a season like Christmas, where the church says this is such a magnificent event. We're going to celebrate this for 8 days.
Yeah, it really reveals the church as an indulgent mother, doesn't it? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's Mother Church saying, this is such a special occasion, kids. You get to celebrate 8 days in a row. So for 8 days in a row, there's to be no fasting, and we're going to stretch out this one day for eight. It's calling attention to it and not leaving it aside. You know, it always strikes me how the rest of the culture, you know, the day after Christmas, the trees are in the garbage, you know, everything's taken down, and people have moved on to the next thing. But we are lingering over Christmas, and you know, it's sort of there's a contemplative dimension or a meditative dimension to it. You know, we don't want to pass over this too quickly. We want to take our time and think about it and pray about it, and most of all to celebrate it for not just one day, but eight. It's one of the most beautiful things the church does.
Yeah. Well, Father, I have to say, there on the East Coast of the U.S., you're blessed if it goes until the day after Christmas, because out here it's like noon on Christmas Day. It's like lights come down, tree, like you say, tree in the garbage can, no more Christmas music. You know, it's just, you see people going about their lives as if nothing had ever happened. And for us, it's just starting. So I think it's such a beautiful thing. We should try and convey that to the world. But We're talking about the word
That point that you just made there, as if nothing had never happened. You know, one of the great lines that we have every year, it's on the Feast of the Epiphany, is about the wise men, that they receive a warning in a dream, not to report back to Herod, and they go back to their country by another way. And it's such a significant line that they have encountered the Christ child, and their lives are not the same anymore, and they're not going to go back the same way. And I think when you said it there, really, I think that's very significant, is that we shouldn't conclude those 8 days and then go back to life as before. We should be changed ever so little.
Well, delving a little bit more into this word becoming flesh, Father Paul, and obviously Jesus took on a body. He took on nature, bones and flesh and blood and everything. And I know throughout the history of the church, there have been movements that have been repulsed by the material world and wanted to say that the material things are bad and so forth. So kind of give us a sense of how the incarnation of Christ and taking on a body like ours affects our understanding of these matters and the church's encouragement of us to use images and things to show that creation is good.
Sure. St. John the Evangelist was one of the first to counter this mentality that the material world is bad and only the spiritual world is good. And very early in the life of the church, there arose this thought that perhaps God did not become fully man, but was just sort of, it was just sort of make-believe. And so John has the very strong phrase, the Word was made flesh, and he really makes it very stark and very clear to convey that God took on a human nature, and yes, even a human body, human flesh and blood and bones. And this is something that the demons hate, because they see our bodies as bad. And this is something that we should rejoice in, because it reveals to us, again, our dignity and the goodness, the nobility, the holiness of the body and the sanctity to which we're called, not just spiritually, but physically. We're to be living out in every way the sanctity to which we're called. And so the incarnation and the birth of our Lord really conveys that. And we can't, again, when we leave this feast, when we move on, we have to move on with a greater appreciation of the dignity of the human body. And especially in our day, I mean, we are in one of those eras in which the human body is treated so shoddily. I mean, we either worship it, you know, if you've got a great body, then you get all the tattoos and everything like that, right? Mm-hmm. And you sort of glorify it or glory in it, or we hate it, and eating disorders or suicide. I mean, then why is the suicide rate so high in the wealthiest nations? And it's this sort of not knowing what we're for anymore, not knowing our purpose. Contraception, abortion, the gender ideology, all of these things are signs of this discomfort we have with our own bodies. And so, again, by the incarnation, God reveals us to ourselves. And by coming in the flesh, in a human body like ours, our Lord is saying, your body is good and is meant for God. And there are a few things that are as flattering as that, right? And
right.
Especially since we can get frustrated with our bodies, especially, you're probably gaining weight around the holiday season, right?
I'm just getting old, Father Paul. The aches and pains make me think about that every day.
That's right.
Father Paul Scalia with
an important message.
Yeah. What's that, Father?
It's an important message for our time.
It is.
The dignity of the human body and the incarnation, this feast that is coming is the one that draws our attention to it most of all.
Father Paul Scalia, our guest here on this pre-recorded episode of Catholic Answers Live. It's last show heading into the Christmas weekend, so our hopes and prayers and thoughts for you, our listeners, are that you really, really allow the reality of what takes place, what took place 2,000-plus years ago, and we commemorate every year the incarnation of Jesus, excuse me, in his birth. in the manger. Let that really resonate in your heart. We're not taking live calls today, but I know I am hanging on all that Father Paul Scalia is saying, and I'm sure you, our listeners, are as well. And just as an aside, though, you really can't call discussing Mary an aside when you're talking about Jesus, Father Paul, but you mentioned one of the things that Satan hates is the fact that Jesus took on a body like ours and really elevated that again to even a new dignity that it didn't have, you know, at creation. Obviously, none of this could be separated from the Virgin Mary. No discussion such as what we're having now can be apart from her role in all of this and what God did for her.
Absolutely. And the title Mother of God, that is not only a great dignity to her, but it also defends the truth about him, that he really did have a mother according to his human nature, but it is the person of God to whom she gives birth according to his human nature. So that title is so important, which is why, you know, the Christmas octave ends with the feast of the Mother of God. It is the truth about Mary that defends that truth of the incarnation. And again, this is conveyed to us, and it's planted in our hearts at a young age with those most beautiful images of mother and child, which are, you know, that draw people throughout the world, throughout the ages. We are drawn to that beautiful image, but that's drawing us to a deeper truth, to a dogma, and to the saving doctrine of our Lady's motherhood and the incarnation of our Lord. And you know, we can never be too devoted to Our Lady. Maybe people can be devoted to her in the wrong way, but right. We can never be too devoted to her because she, you know, she is always leading us to her Son.
Yeah. Well, and tell you what, I want to take the final break right now, Nick, if Nick can do that for us, because there's a few other things that I want to get into here with you, Father Paul, and they are a little bit changing gears just a little bit here on this episode of Catholic Answers Live. The Word made flesh, that is our topic today. Father Paul Scalia, he is a priest of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. He was ordained in 1996, and he has been a regular guest on this program. You might have seen his writings in various publications. He's a speaker for the Institute of Catholic Culture in Front Royal, Virginia. We will continue our conversation here with Father Paul on Catholic Answers Live in a moment.
Catholic Answers Live.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin. Christmas is coming and Advent's already upon us, so we want to make sure that you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code WINTER at checkout. We've got great new resources on Scripture, church history, the saints, my new book on Bible prophecy, and so much more. There's no better time to stock up on resources to help build your faith and the faith of those around you. Just phone 888-291-8000 or go to the online shop at Catholic.com right now to take advantage of this great Catholic sale going on now through the end of the year. Remember, enter the promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
Talking about, well, what else? Right before Christmas here, we're talking about the Word made flesh, Jesus' incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born on Christmas morning, and it is what we commemorate today. And we want to seek him like the wise men did. And so we're talking today with Father Paul Scalia about so many aspects of the incarnation, just the beauty of the way that God chose to come to us, to redeem us, to enter into our human situation. And Father Paul, I always like to say, other than the original creation, when God created without our help, it seems like virtually everything since then, including our own salvation, He has included our participation. I mean, this is the kind of God that we have. I think of things like Jesus saying, "Now you guys go out and preach the gospel. Now, you know, you guys, you do this. You preach the word of salvation, and even our own salvation. We, in a sense, hung on the cross with Jesus in our human nature. So, I don't know. That's just a little thought that I wanted to inject. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but."
Well, that's a very theologically accurate and extraordinarily important. It's God's great respect for us, his reverence for us, that he doesn't just do it all himself and sort of like somebody's become exhausted with us to say, well, you know, get out of the way, I'll do it. He wants us to participate, and that's a very fatherly thing to do. Not just to do everything for your children, but to bring them to maturity so that they can participate in these things and grow because they are doing that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Father, one of the beautiful things is for all who have been to Midnight Mass, and it is absolutely a glorious celebration. If everything that can be included in Midnight Mass is included, it's something everyone should experience at some point. And I know you have as a priest and probably well before that in your life as well. But the proclamation of the birth of Christ is sung in many instances, and it goes through a litany of biblical events that point to Christ, but also it talks about things that were a part of history that were not really included in the Bible. And I'm just curious to know, why is it that the Church does this at the Midnight Mass for Christmas?
Yeah, it's a great moment, and I remember the first time I witnessed that. I was thinking to myself, what is going on? What is all of this? You know, let's just get started, right? But it is a way of locating everything in history, and I think driving home the point that what we are celebrating is not an idea. It's not an ideology or philosophy. It's not some spiritualism. It is something that happened historically. God entered into time, and we can point to the time which he entered. And we have all of these dates, all of these various figures who were living at the time, during whose reign and our Lord was born. And that's really what distinguishes our faith from so many other ways of living, is that we're not talking about an idea. We're talking about something that was really, really that was historical. And, you know, by the way, this is, you know, it's kind of funny because one of the things you hear at this time of year is the spirit of Christmas.
Right.
Or the Christmas spirit. You know, you want to get in the spirit of the season, which is very funny because this season is all about, well, the Word becoming flesh. It's not purely spiritual anymore. We're not talking about some vague spiritual idea, some vague feeling. We're talking about a concrete historical event, and that's why at the Midnight Mass they list all of that. And by the way, at the Midnight Mass, because tradition has it that our Lord was born at midnight, not at the 4 p.m. vigil, but at midnight.
Right. Father Paul Scalia with us here on Catholic Answers Live. As a lead into what I want to ask you next, Father, I sometimes a little bit tongue in cheek, a little bit not tongue in cheek, I like to kind of paint a little bit of a picture here. Let's say you got a family, they have three or four kids. It's Sarah's birthday. Sarah's birthday is coming up, and 20 of her friends from the neighborhood and her class are invited over, and they all show up, and there's cake, and they're going to do a barbecue, and there's balloons and candles and decorations and everything, and the party's about to start, and everybody says, "Where's Sarah?" "Oh, well, she wasn't invited." It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, even young kids, Father Paul, would look and go, "Huh?" They wouldn't. They would say, "Well, what? I thought it was her party." So I use that as kind of a lead into this. The world, there's so many things about Christmas that people who don't celebrate, you know, the event that we're talking about here today still appreciate. One of those things is the child in the manger. I mean, people are drawn to that in a certain way, even though it's just maybe because, oh, gee, that's cute or whatever, but not really from so much of a Christian point of view. Why do you think that is?
Quite simply because I think our fallen human nature knows that we need to be reborn. We know, despite all of our weaknesses, despite all of our ignorance, despite all of our rationalizations, we know that we need to be reborn. That the defects in our nature are such that we need that rebirth. We need and we need to become children again, and that is why everybody is drawn to it. The childlike dimension of Christmas and the delight of children. I mean, really. To be with children at Christmas is extraordinary because they get it, you know. I love it when the toddler, you know, opens the present, the fancy present that his parents gave him, and he ends up playing with the box instead of the present, you know, the fancy present. Because the simplicity of it, the innocence, we are drawn to the Christ child because we realize that we've lost our innocence, but that it can also be restored, that we've lost that childlike trust in God, but that it can be restored. And that's what draws us. And most people don't realize it, but that's why it is such an enduring holiday and why everybody rejoices in it.
Well, Father, in our home stretch here, we've got about six minutes left. And I want to establish the connection between the Nativity and the Eucharist, which is a very obvious connection to Catholics and to the Church, because, you know, help me out here from a word standpoint. Bethlehem does not, that means house of bread, right? And Jesus was born. Yeah, Jesus was born into a feeding trough for animals. I mean, the symbolism is through the roof here, but just boil it down for those of us who really could maybe better understand that this little baby Jesus took on our body, our flesh, then would give that flesh for our food, for our eternal salvation. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and right, Bethlehem means house of bread, and he was put in a manger, which is, of course, resembles the French word for eat, or the Italian word, you know, mangiare. He's placed in a feeding trough. It's also, I think, worth pointing out the shepherds are bringing they are taking care of the sheep, the lambs that will be slaughtered. And so already prefiguring him as the Lamb of God, whom we receive in the Eucharist. There was a powerful prayer in, yesterday's Mass, I think, or maybe it was Sunday's Mass. Yeah, it was Sunday's Mass, basically compared what happened at the altar with what happened in Mary's womb. And I nearly stumbled over the words as I said the prayer because it just struck me as so powerful. It was a prayer over the gifts for the fourth Sunday in Advent. And he is born for us. He takes flesh of the Virgin Mary so that he can continue coming to us in the Eucharist. And so one of the reasons for his taking flesh is to take flesh again at Mass, or rather to extend that so that he can continue to abide with us, not just spiritually. God is everywhere spiritually, but in every tabernacle, he is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So on Christmas Day, God is present everywhere in the world, but he was uniquely present in Bethlehem. And the same is true with the Eucharist. God is everywhere in the world, but he is uniquely present in the tabernacle, which is why, you know, it doesn't fly to say, well, you know, I can just go pray wherever I want. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. If we were present in the world in the first Christmas, we would race to Bethlehem because that's where our God was in a unique manner. And so in our way of worshiping, we should hasten to the Eucharist because that is Bethlehem all over again. He is there in the Eucharist every bit as much as he was present in Bethlehem. And again, you know, he comes into the world in Bethlehem veiled in human flesh. We look upon the Christ child. We are looking upon God. And in the Eucharist, he comes to us veiled under the form of bread. We look upon what appears to be just bread, and we are looking upon Jesus Christ, God himself. So the parallels are extraordinary, and one of the fruits we should really pray for at Christmas is a greater devotion to the Eucharist and making a visit to the Eucharist and realizing that is like visiting Christ in Bethlehem. Every moment of his life has eternal significance, and so when we go to visit him in the Eucharist, we should know that we're also visiting the Christ child, and we are going there to, again, to thank him for coming and to tell him that we love him, as we would to the Christ child.
Yeah. Well, and you anticipated, the final thing I was going to ask you, Father, you mentioned if we had had the opportunity to be present in that first Bethlehem, we would have raced to it. We have that every day. I mean, Jesus, in a sense, his incarnation becomes renewed for us every day at Mass. So maybe just a thought from you to all of our listeners about considering feeding themselves more frequently on the Eucharist than just Sundays.
Absolutely, yes. And why wouldn't we? I mean, there are schedule concerns, of course, but if we can, what a great thing to do. What a benefit to our soul, and what a way to show our love to God. Is you know, why do we just celebrate the shepherds hastening to Bethlehem at Christmas when we can imitate the shepherds hastening to Bethlehem every day by, you know, going to Mass, by setting aside time for that, by making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament? These are practical sort of nuts and bolts ways of extending Christmas throughout the rest of the year. And as he comes forth from Our Lady's womb and is made visible, so at Mass the bread makes God visible again. We, under the form of bread, we behold him. And so this is a way of extending everything that we value about Christmas, everything that we love about it, the presence of God, that warmth, that he is there. And he's there in a very simple way, right? He's in a cave in a manger in a no account town. And at Mass, he's there in a very simple way. It's a very simple form of bread that he takes. And so we should imitate that same simplicity in just going to him and being with him. And it doesn't need to be complex, doesn't need to be fancy words. The shepherds didn't have fancy words. We just need to value that simplicity and imitate it.
Beautiful. Father Paul Scalia, thank you so much for your time. Can we get a quick blessing from you, please?
Thank you. Absolutely. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father, Merry Christmas to you, to your family,
and
everybody.
To you. To you and your family. God bless you all.
Thank
all
you, right. Father Paul Scalia.
Bye-bye.
Great to have him here on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher filling in. We got another hour yet to come, so stay with us. Final broadcast before Christmas. That comes up on Sunday. Beautiful. Love the fact that Christmas is on a Sunday this year. So please do stay with us. Another hour of Catholic Answers Live is straight ahead. Good to have you listening today.